Good afternoon. Welcome to Senate Finance. Today is Tuesday, April 17, 2018. The time is 1:35 p.m. I'm Co-Chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this afternoon, Senator Machicki.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff. Senator Stevens.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Olson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Bishop is in the Transportation Committee giving a quorum and should be joining us shortly, and Senator Hoffman, co-chair of Finance, is working on other state business at this time and should be joining us in a little while. On today's agenda, we have SB 76. It's an act relating to alcohol beverages, relating to the regulation of manufacturers, wholesalers, retailers, and common carriers of alcoholic beverages, relating to licenses, endorsements, and permits involving alcoholic beverages, relating to the Alcohol Beverage Control Board, relating to offenses involving alcohol beverages, amending Rule 17H, Alaska Rules of Minor Offense Procedures, and providing for an effective date. Senator Machicki, would you like to speak to us from your Finance Committee position table, or would you like to go to the end and give us an overview of your bill? If I could invite Rachel Hanke, staff to Senator Machicki, to the microphone. Senator Machicki, please present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll give a very, very brief intro, if you will, and then where you go from there, of course, is your choice, Madam Chair. But Senate Bill 76, it looks big. It's largely a reorganization, and we will have a table that will show the color-coded, where things are reorganized, how they're reorganized. But essentially what it does do on the changes is it modernizes the over 35-year-old Title IV statutes that govern the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. It allows the bill to function in a way that the industry actually operates today. It promotes public safety and health while supporting the alcohol industry's continued growth and viability in today's current climate. I'm a person that responsibly enjoys alcohol periodically. It's a very healthy industry. The reality of it is there are aspects of public health and public safety that have to be also taken into account when you think about how the industry exists and functions around the state. So we brought a stakeholder group together. The stakeholder group's been working together about 6 years now. And we had a bill last year that wasn't quite ready for prime time, and we peeled off the pieces of it that were. And then we brought the group together over the interim for another series of regular meetings. So what our goals are with the group as a foundation for developing the bill you see before you is promoting a fair business climate and protect public health and safety, create a rational regulation for all three tiers of the state's alcohol industry, limiting youth access to alcohol, promoting responsible alcohol use, and reducing the harms of overconsumption, and implementing without negative impacts on businesses and responsible operators. So to close, Madam Chair, we brought together a group of folks that perhaps don't always see eye to eye, and over an extensive series of meetings brought it to the Title IV you see today, where they have agreed that this is the path forward for the industry from looking through all the various lenses that are associated with the alcohol industry in Alaska.
Thank you for those brief opening comments. Welcome, Co-Chairman Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Ms. Hanke, could you walk us through a sectional or give us an overview of the components of what the bill does?
Yes, Madam Chair. For the record, Rachel Hanke, staff to Senator Machicki. For today, I did prepare a summary of the sectional analysis. And I will start with Chapter 6, which is Powers and Duties of the Board. This is Sections 1 through 8. What we're doing here is making the board and AMCO a key partner in education efforts, spanning the public and private sector to promote responsible alcohol use and the laws in Title IV, and establish a comprehensive plan for doing so. We're also asking the board to revise license fees every 10 years. Excuse me. And we're also asking the board to give copies of all Title IV convictions from courts to the licensees in a timely manner so they're aware of what's these convictions that are happening. We're also asking them to keep aggregate data in the existing statewide database for 10 years without personally identifiable information. And we're asking them to produce annual reports on regional and statewide alcohol sale volumes. And we're also removing the ability to create licenses and permits in regulation. And moving on to Chapter 9, which is one section, Section 9, which is the largest part of the bill. This is where we address licenses, endorsements, and permits. And this is also where we organize all licenses and permits that are scattered throughout Title IV and in regulation. And so we're organizing them by tier, and it starts with manufacturing licenses. We are simplifying these manufacturing licenses, and we're raising all the fees for those to $1,500 biennially to level the playing field. We're taking existing provisions from these licenses now to create other licenses and endorsements. And I will get to endorsements here soon. And this allows small manufacturers to continue to self-distribute to retailers. And there are no population limits on these license types.
Ms. Hankey, on your analysis today, we have a bill that's 112 pages long. When you start talking, I know my sectional shows at least a starting point for the general public that might be following. So under the licensing endorsements and permits, that starts on page 5. And it runs through page 50. So if we could just, so those that might not be in the room understand at least the sections that you're referring to in your comments, that would be helpful.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
So as you stated, Madam Chair, Section 9 spans page 5 to page 50, and it is one large section. So moving on to wholesale licenses. Here we're.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Ms. Hankey.
Yes, Madam Chair. I was starting on wholesale licenses, which is page 3 of the sectional analysis, Article 3. Here we're separating into wholesale license into two license types, which is the general wholesale and the limited wholesale, which is beer and wine only. We're reducing the annual transaction fees for each type of license for smaller businesses, and we're maintaining the maximum fees for large businesses.
That would be on page 8 of the bill. Thank you. Please continue.
And there are also no population limits on these wholesale licenses either. On to page 4 of the sectional is retail licenses. Again, most retail licenses are already existing in statute either or in regulation. And I will go through and highlight the new concepts, which are also highlighted in the sectional.
And for those following at home, that begins on page 11, line 20, for retail licenses. Please continue.
Yes, Madam Chair. Also submitted to the members is a table for proposed license fee changes, and those should be in your packets for Also in retail licenses, we are creating a level playing field by making beer, wine, spirit retailer licenses $2,500 biennially across the board and $1,250 for beer and wine retailers or manufacturer retail licenses. And the one license fee that we have changed is the club license, which is $1,500 because of the limited clientele that they are serving in comparison to regular BDL.
Club licensing is on page 13. It begins on line 12.
Next, Madam Chair, I will move to the package store license just to highlight that this one is also $1,500 biennially because there are multiple endorsements available to them, which they will most likely take advantage of, which are $200 each, and I will get to endorsements here later on.
Is the packaging on page 14, line 30? Is that your reference?
Madam Chair, I'm referencing the sectional. I could start referencing the bill too, if you just give me one moment.
I've got it. It's page 30. Okay. It's page 14, line 30. Thank you. Okay.
I will note that manufacturer retail licenses are existing in the manufacturer licenses now, and we're just pulling those and making them into their own licenses, and those have a 1 in 9,000 population limit. Okay, next I will move to the seasonal restaurant eating place license, which is also a new concept. And that is page 5 of the sectional. These licenses will be available in populations that have 20,000 people or less and at least 4,000 visitors. These are also exempt from population limits because they're mainly just serving the tourist population.
Seasonal restaurant and eating places of tourism is on page 25, line 17.
And next, which is AS0409360, is the winery direct shipment license. And this allows direct-to-consumer sales of wine in or out of state, including online sales. And this is a $200 biennial fee, and these also have no population limits.
Page 27, line 7.
And on page 6 of the sectional is Article 5, which is endorsements, starts at 0409400. The endorsement concept is new, but again, most of the language is existing in statute or regulation. Endorsements expand the boundaries of a licensed premises or activities of a license, and these can only be used in conjunction with a license, and is renewed with license biennially, and they're each $200. So the first new concept would be the package store shipping endorsement. So we will now allow package stores to not only ship but also to accept online orders. Only wineries and package stores can ship within the state direct to consumers, but only wine can be shipped from out of state directly to consumers, and this is currently not being regulated.
On that point, Madam Chair.
Senator Hoffman.
What do other states do in this regard? Do they also limit the out-of-state sales to wine?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, it's my understanding that there are some states that regulate in this way and some that don't, but we do have Anna Brawley with Agnew Beck online who could probably answer that in more detail.
Senator Hoffman, would you like me to?
No, that's all right.
I'll
check
out
later. Okay.
Ms. Brawley, are you there? I show you off net. Anna?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm here.
Senator Hoffman, could you restate your question?
My question is in regard to allowing licenses to accept online orders. What do other states do in regards to other alcohol beverages besides wine?
Thank you, through the chair, Senator Hoffman. My understanding is that most states have limited online sales to wine, at least for customers in their state. And so a state can't regulate sales outside of its boundaries, but it is most common for wine only. Some states do allow online sales of other products, however.
Senator Hoffman, follow up.
Let's say like states around Kentucky, they don't allow that as well.
Thank you, through the chair, Senator Hoffman. I would need to research specific states' policies.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. For those that might be following this discussion at home, as I stated, the bill is about 112 pages, and the sectional is quite lengthy, too.
under a color-coded sectional analysis, if you see yellow, it's existing currently in state statute. If there's a highlight of green regarding the section number, it is already existing in regulation but not in state statute. If you see an aqua or a blue shade, it's a penalty or a fee change. And if you see a bright pink, it's a new concept that the sectional is trying to call committee members' attention to. So just wanted to make sure the general public was following. We have SB 76 in front of us. It's a judiciary version. It's version Y. And we're trying to help you through the meat of the bill by providing page numbers where Ms. Hanke is referring to the sectional. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Michicki.
Well, just to comment on Senator Hoffman's question, there's a couple of good reasons for the change on being able to ship anything to Just Wine. One of them is that we have an alcohol distribution problem in the state of Alaska right now, and ordering online doesn't necessarily prove that the person who's ordering is of age. With the wine shipment, it has to be received by someone who is of age now, and we've narrowed it to wine, but also require them to pay the same excise tax. So it creates a level playing field for distributors in state as well. So it was, there was a couple of reasons for the change. Primarily, it's to limit the access to alcohol for minors.
Senator Michicki, I know that some of our smaller communities have their own, the governments have their own alcohol outlet and distribution center. Is this being affected? Is it affecting their distribution? Or the taxes that they're paying on it or fees associated with it?
Well, I would hate to, since I don't know the exact purchase location for how they are outfitted, I couldn't answer that question. If they're, I would assume that they are purchasing all of their products from an in-state distributor.
I'm not sure if that. I don't know the answer to that either. That's why I was asking you if you had involved rural communities.
I'm getting a nod from the, well.
We'll have Mr. Yes. Fox before us later. Ms. Hanke, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rachel Hanke, staff to Senator Michicki. I believe I left off with the package store shipping endorsement, and now I'll be moving to the package store sampling endorsement, which is on page 39 of the bill and top of page 7 of the sectional. So as the title states, this endorsement would allow for package stores to have sampling on premises. And again, it has a biennial fee of $200. Next, I'll move on to Article.
Senator Stevens.
Is there a limit to the sampling, a size limit?
Ms. Hanke?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, there are sampling limits, and I would defer to Anna Brawley for those exact numbers.
Senator Stevens, would you like us to bring someone up to answer that now or go through the session?
At some point, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Would you please help me remember that if you could write that question down? Ms. Hanke, please continue.
Next, I will move on to Article 6, which is permits, still on page 7 of the sectional. And we are moving to page 42 of the bill. Again, most permits are existing in statute and regulation. Senate Bill 76 will require servers to have alcohol server education cards, and we set a flat fee for all of these permits at $50 per event day. A new concept would be the manufacturer sampling endorsement. This one uses existing language from statute but defines per person per day volume limits, which are not in place today. And let's see, next is the alcohol beverage auction permit, which previously just allowed for wine, and we are expanding that to allow alcoholic beverages of all kinds to be auctioned, and that one is currently existing in regulation. And the only new permit is the tasting event permit, which will allow a BDL licensee holder to partner with a package store or a manufacturer retail licensee to host a tasting event on the partner's premises to showcase the partner's products. This has a time limit. And that one is at the bottom of page 7 of the sectional.
Page 46, line 22, the tasting event permit. Senator Von Impa.
Thank you. Is this the issues that are addressing distilleries?
Through the chair, Representative Von or Senator Von Imhoff, could you give me a little more detail?
There has been a few, I guess, phone calls to my office stating that this Title IV rewrite is including now distilleries, which is a new kind of up-and-coming emerging industry. But I wasn't sure if there was some pushback by bars and restaurants in terms of competition. And so my question is this particular statute limiting time, limiting food, and limiting the number of events, how did you come up with that statute?
Senator Michiki.
Yeah, this bill does not change, if you're talking about distilleries, this bill does not change the current law on distilleries. There was going to be, in the original bill, there was a discussion of an 80-20. That is no longer in the bill for distilleries and breweries. But the amount that can be served today in a distillery and brewery is the same amount that this bill calls for. The operating system of getting to this point was things where the entire group can get to consensus, and that discussion was not one that was agreed upon by the group. So it's still fairly contentious. This bill does not change the existing regulations, though.
Senator Von Himmel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm finished.
Senator Von Imhoff, it's a problem for me also, but that's not addressed in this bill. There's quite a bit of activity going on that is negative to individual communities, individual neighborhoods. Ms. Hanke, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Rachel Hanke, staff to Senator Michiki. Next, I am moving to page 48 of the bill, which is Article 7, Common Carrier Approval. This will require common carriers who are transporting and delivering alcohol to check IDs upon delivery and require a signature. They will also be required to keep record of shipments available for audit by the board. Common carriers must also be approved by the board and keep an up-to-date list of those that are approved. Next, I will move to Chapter 11, which is licensing. This is Sections 10 through 22, starting on page 50 through page 79. So in this chapter, there is a lot of reorganizing as well, conforming to the changes made in Chapter 9. Another goal of this project was to make Title IV more user-friendly for licensees, the public, and for staff. So clarifying changes are made throughout to help achieve that goal. And I will skip to AS 0411-400, which is the population limit provision, and that is on spans a couple of pages, but starts on page 64, line 26. So in this section, we attempt to make it more clear as much as we could. We're lowering the population threshold for the transfer of a BDL from a borough to a city, which already exists. But we're also allowing for package stores to move from a borough into a city as well. Another key recommendation here is the repeal of public convenience licenses, which is section 45, page 68. We repeal that, but we also create a new mechanism in which municipalities can petition the ABC board for additional restaurant licenses. When these are granted to the municipality, they do not lapse and can be transferred or sold just like other restaurant licenses, which currently they cannot. And they can use these outside population, population outside of the city limits and non-resident worker population and visitors to justify those additional licenses. Next key concept is section 50, which is on page 71. And this section is prohibited financial interest. This enforces the three-tier system by separating business interests by tier. This will allow small manufacturers to purchase a retail license like a BDL or an REPL and vice versa, but prohibit large manufacturers from holding other licenses, and wholesalers remain separate from the other tiers. Senate Bill 76 doesn't address many local option issues, but an important one that we do address is in section 58 through 60, which is page 74. And this will allow outdoor recreation lodges to be exempted from restrictions on sale in local option elections.
Senator Hoffman.
And what is the justification for that?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, in some of these local option communities, it's my understanding that they elected to allow these license types when they were not able to, and so those businesses are having issues renewing their licenses currently.
That may be the case, Madam Chair, but it's those people that live in that region year-round, and many of the people that operate the licenses in the lodges may be there for only 2 or 3 months. So to defer to the decisions to the lodge owners against the wishes of the people that live there, I don't believe is the right thing to do. And I don't know what these decisions are, but the people that are in those boroughs and in that region should decide what happens within their boundaries.
Senator Michiki.
Actually, this change is recognizing their decisions, Senator Hoffman. They're currently, it's part of the what they're excluded from being able to decide. This is only in support of the local decision-making process.
So if we look at the on line 10, page 74, section 58, if a majority of the persons voting on the question vote to approve the option, a municipality shall adopt a local option to prohibit the sale of alcohol beverages, except by one or more of the following listed on the ballot, and G is being added to include local control over an outdoor recreational lodge. Is that accurate, Senator Michiki?
That's my understanding, Madam Chair. We can certainly wait till we have others up here if we have further questioning on that subject.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Senator Hoffman, if you would write that particular question down so that we have a spot that we can go back to I'm just trying to keep up with the sectional as far as cross-tabbing, so I haven't been able to write down your questions today like I normally would. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to echo the concern that Senator Hoffman pointed out, because in my district we've got both the lodges that are there as well as the people that are year-round residents.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Von Imhoff.
Madam Chair, how I read this is that if the majority of persons vote to approve the option, they could prohibit specific, so if the majority of the persons living in that municipality, they could prohibit specific items on here, and one of them could be an outdoor recreation lodge. Is that what I'm reading?
It's an exception.
It's an exception.
We'll have the Department of Law speak on this. I believe Senator Olson and Senator Hoffman are flagging this issue. If you could put a tab on your document so that we can come back to that. We do have youth joining us from Scammon Bay with their brief at ease. We're back on the record. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to be pleased to go ahead and have the people from my district, because we don't see them very often here in Juneau, but the, you know, Scammon Bay is one of my favorite places to go to because of the wonderful fish and strips they make down there in Scammon Bay. So I want to welcome you to the Senate Finance this afternoon. I honestly don't know the names, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you for joining us today. We're talking about an issue regarding alcohol and the sale of alcoholic beverages in the state of Alaska. And right now we're circling around a question that has to do with smaller communities and the local option, whether they allow or should allow exceptions from the rule for outdoor recreation lodges. So we have a huge bill in front of us that is aligning Alaska state law around this issue, our Title IV. It's 112 pages, so we're trying to keep track of it also. Thank you for joining us today. Ms. Hankey, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Rachel Hankey. Now I'll move to Section 70 of the bill, which is on page 78 and page 13 of the sectional. Section 70 addresses refunds to municipalities, which we are renaming allocation. This bill will also require that municipalities report back to AMCO on how these license fee funds are being used for alcohol-related education and enforcement. And I believe members have in their packets a list of the communities with those allocations. Next, we'll move to Chapter 16, which is regulation of sales and distributions. And this chapter begins on page 79 and still page 13 of the sectional, and this spans pages 79 through 96 and is sections my sections are wrong there. But I will start on Section 73, which is page 79. This will allow a person to be on the licensed premises outside of the hours of sale for maintenance and deliveries is an example. Currently, that's not allowed under state statute, but still doesn't allow service of alcohol during these hours. Next, I'll move to Section 77, which is page 81. And this is page 14 of the sectional. This section deals with trade practices and matches current federal law on illegal trade practices. An example would be a wholesaler making a deal with a retailer to carry their brands at a discount and agreeing not to purchase competitors' brands. Most other states have these laws in place already and are consistent with federal law. Section 79, which begins at line 31 and 82 and continues on to page 83. This section deals with online sale and purchase. So this, again, is where we're prohibiting online purchases and sale unless the licensee has that winery direct shipment license or package store shipping endorsement and gives the state the ability to address illegal online sales. Down to sections 81, and I'll also address section 92 at the same time. These two address drunken person on premises and serving to a person under the age of 21. So the new concept here is that the bill proposes an administrative penalty of $250 to the licensee when an employee is convicted of either of these crimes. This will also make a licensee who knowingly allows these activities on their premises to be subject to the a misdemeanor offense.
Ms. Hankey, did you say an administrative penalty of $250?
Yes, Madam Chair.
help me, I'm looking on line 28, and prohibited conduct relating to a drunken person is a violation punishable by $500. Is that a different than what you were speaking to?
Yes, Madam Chair. So that would be the person violating that, and then that would trigger the $250 administrative penalty to the licensee, the idea being that sometimes they're unaware that these things are happening and that this administrative penalty will get their attention.
Senator Hoffman.
Under this Section 84, is the definition anyone that is above 0.08, or is there a different definition for an inebriate on a licensed premises?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I believe we have Erica McConnell, who is the director of AMCO, online, who may be able to answer that one better than I could.
Erica McConnell, are you online and available?
Yes, this is Erica McConnell, the director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office.
Senator Hoffman, could you restate your question?
Section 84 is the definition of someone that's intoxicated on a licensed premises, the definition 0.008, or is there a different definition?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, Section 84 on page 84 is, are we looking at access of drunken persons to licensed premises?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Drunken person is defined in Title IV as a person whose physical or mental conduct is substantially impaired as a result of the introduction of an alcoholic beverage into the person's body and who exhibits those plain and easily observed or discovered outward manifestations of behavior commonly known to be produced by the overconsumption of alcoholic beverages. So a drunken person is identified more by the behaviors that they are exhibiting rather than a specific blood alcohol level.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Rachel Hanke, staff to Senator Machiki. Next, I'll move on to Chapter 21, which is General Provisions. This is pages 96 through 103, sections 122 through 136. And the first new concept here is Section 73. Oh, sorry, excuse me. I was looking at the wrong section there. Section 122, which is keg registration. This is a current practice in Anchorage and Juneau. An example for this would be a keg at an underage party is confiscated, and this will allow it to be traced back to the legal adult purchaser, and that way that person could be held accountable. Next, I'll move to Section 127, which is page 98. And we're on page 18 of the sectional. This section talks about the server education course, and this adds all other license types that serve the public to those that are required to have these server education cards. Also requires that permit holders have servers listed on the permit application and require alcohol servers cards on the first day of the event. Sections 137 through 148 I will address next. That's starting on page 103. And at the bottom of page 19 of the sectional. Here we're making amendments to other titles. So most of these are conforming changes because of the changes previously in the bill, but Section 146 in particular adds a new section to Title 43, which will allow for the excise tax to be collected that the Senator mentioned earlier. Lastly, Sections 149 through 159 are the transition repealers and effective dates, starting on page 108. Most of this bill takes effect January 1, 2020, but the public convenience license conversions are immediate. Transition sections convert existing licenses to the new system needed and allows the board to draft these regulations to implement the new system and gives them plenty of time to do that. And, Madam Chair, that is the end of my very high-level overview.
Senator Stevens, did you have a question? Or?
Not that I remember, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair. Senator Machicki.
I just had an answer for Senator Stevens' question on page 39. You asked about the package store sampling quantities. Between the hours of midnight and 8 a.m., are the hours that you can't offer samples, but that holder of a package store sampling endorsement may serve a total volume of samples to a person on licensed premise each day that does not exceed 12 ounces of beer, that's less than 8.5% alcohol by volume, 6 ounces of wine, and 1.5 ounces of distilled spirits, or the alcoholic equivalent of 1, 2, or 3 of the subsection.
Could you please repeat that? I was trying to write that down, Senator.
Yes, Madam Chair. The sampling endorsement is a total alcohol equivalency of 12 ounces of beer. It has to be less than 8.5% alcohol by volume on the beer, and that includes cider. It's defined the same way. 6 ounces of wine, mead, sake, or cider if the cider contains 8.5% or more alcohol by volume. 1.5 ounces of distilled spirits or the alcohol equivalent of those one through three items I just listed. So it's essentially a drink and a half.
Just a clarification. I don't want to reveal too much personally here, but I do remember being in Dublin, and they would give you 1.5 ounces several times. So is this limited to 1.5 ounce once a day? Or?
Yep. It's limited.
That's not the case in Dublin.
I'm sure there's some folks in Alaska that would like for it to be like Dublin, but this limits it to one per day per person.
Thank you.
On page 39, line 10, is the limit for on licensed premises each day that does not exceed the volume that Senator Machicki just restated. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we go back to section 92? We didn't spend too much time on that. That's on page 86. And this is addressing furnishing alcohol beverages to a person under the age of 21 by licenses. This is a big issue throughout the state of Alaska, and can you go over what the changes are and the justification for those changes?
Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, that would be an excellent question for Ms. Brawley. Just for the committee's information, she was the coordinator of an extensive project that we all put together, and she's the historian and is very well versed on exactly when we got to a certain point in these discussions and why. I think she'd be very helpful.
Anna Bradley, are you there, and did you hear Senator Hoffman's question?
Yes, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Anna Brawley, Title IV Review Project Coordinator. And through the Chair, Senator Hoffman, the current penalty for a licensee or their employee serving a minor on licensed premises is a Class A misdemeanor. The group looked at that and many other penalties in Title IV, most of which are Class A misdemeanors, and found that a lot of cases are either not being prosecuted or they're being dismissed. Because the penalty is applied to a wide range of offenses. Additionally, the idea for a business is you would like to have economic incentives to follow the law and make sure that you're operating responsibly. So the proposed change in that penalty in particular is not to reduce its enforcement, but to increase its enforcement or to make the enforcement more effective. And the additional administrative penalty on that licensee for one of their employees serving a minor is, as Ms. Henke stated, really supposed to be kind of a notification or a wake-up call if they aren't aware that that had happened on their premises. You know, there are many owners that may live out of state or just may not be at their licensed premises day-to-day, and so it could be easily concealed from them. And, of course, it does have implications for the renewal and any other sanctions on their license that the ABC board can do. So this change to the penalty is proposed to actually increase the effectiveness of the enforcement.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems to me that the largest economic incentive would be a provision that would say that if they provided alcohol to a misdemeanor on their premises for a number of times, maybe 10 in a period of 6 months, that they would, their license would be revoked. And I'm wondering if such provisions exist.
Ms. Brawley, that was for you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, in terms of the total package of options available to the ABC board for taking action on a license, I would refer that to Director McConnell. But I will mention that certainly, you know, there is a notice of violation system that happens now, but it does not necessarily mean that those penalties are being applied.
Senator Hoffman.
And probably that's why the penalties are being ignored.
Erica McConley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Erica McConnell, Director of the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. Section 4.11.370 is about suspension or revocation of licenses and permits, and it states that a license or permit shall be suspended or revoked if the board fines, and then going to Section 5 or Subsection 5, conviction of an agent or employee of a licensee of a violation, or, excuse me, a conviction of an agent or employee of a licensee of a violation of this title, a regulation adopted under this title, or an ordinance adopted under ASO 42100, if the licensee is found by the board to have either knowingly allowed the violation or to have recklessly or with criminal negligence failed to act in accordance with the duty prescribed under AS 421030, with the result that the agent or employee violates a law, regulation, or ordinance. So that's a bit of a complicated way to show that the title does authorize the board to revoke a license for many fewer offenses than 10 offenses of selling to a minor in that short a time. And certainly we would take action against a license for many fewer violations than 10 in that kind of situation.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the last year, how many licenses have been revoked under this provision that you currently have? And is it less of a number, particularly if people aren't following the law, when you're selling alcohol to a minor?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, the board hasn't revoked any licenses in the past year under this particular provision. One issue is that our compliance check program, which is the program by which we use underage individuals to attempt to purchase alcohol with a valid ID that shows their actual age, that program was stopped in 2015, and we are only now starting to bring that program back. So in the past year, there have not been any compliance checks to determine whether licensees are selling alcohol to minors, and so no licenses have been revoked for that reason.
Senator Hoffman. Well,
then was that a board decision to stop the checking of or enforcing the minors purchasing alcohol, or how did that come about?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, My understanding of that decision, which was made by a previous director, was that there were a number of factors, one of which was resources. The program used to be funded under a grant from the federal government that ended shortly before the program ended. And there were some other issues also relating to the ability to hire underage persons who have to be compensated. So we are trying to address those issues as we bring the program back.
Well, it would seem to me that this is a major problem in the state of Alaska, and maybe the licenses should be, fees should be increased so that licensees are the ones that are paying for the program, because it's something that needs to be done and not necessarily wait for a grant by the federal government.
Ms. McConnell, did you have a response to that?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, thank you. I don't disagree with you, and at the time you would like me to look at the fiscal note, you will see that we do anticipate that passage of this bill would increase revenues to AMCO, and certainly we are working on bringing this program back, whether or not this bill passes, and looking at ways to ensure that we can do that under our current resources.
One other follow-up question, Madam Chair.
Senator Hoffman.
What are the time frames and the number of violations that would have to occur in order for a license to be revoked?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, there isn't a fixed number or standard in the statute. There are procedures for how the director, myself, can propose to the board that a license be suspended or revoked, and so it's really at the discretion of the director when I want to propose that to the board. And certainly selling to underage individuals is one of the most egregious violations of our alcohol laws. And so it would not take very many violations for me to bring that before the board. But ultimately, the board has the discretion to act as they see fit under the statutes and regulations.
Senator Hoffman.
The problem is that it continues to be a problem, and it seems as though someone may be looking the other way, and it should be fixed, not on a case-by-case basis that could show favoritism, but strict interpretation of the law, so all of the licensees know that they are have to follow the same rules as their competitors.
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I certainly agree with you, and I assure you that nobody in our office is intending to look the other way for any sort of violations. We are all working very hard to enforce both our alcohol and our marijuana laws.
And that gives me grave concern when you make that statement, since no licenses have been revoked.
Ms. McConnell, have any license been revoked, or have any license been revoked under this section? There is a distinction.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There is a distinction. In my tenure, which is almost exactly a year, no licenses have been revoked. There have been licenses that have not been renewed, but no licenses have been revoked.
Thank you for that clarification. So I would flag this section as a section for additional scrutiny by members. Section 92, page 86, lowers the penalties for furnishing or delivering to a minor by a licensee or an employee, adds administrative penalty to a licensee if employee is convicted of a violation of this section, and shifts misdemeanor penalties in AS 0416-150 to a licensee who knowingly allows employees to violate this section. So that's a lighter penalty on the owners of the businesses. Senator Machicki.
Madam Chair, actually, it brings the owner into responsibility that they didn't have before for a server that is caught serving to an underage. So there's a couple of different efforts going on here. One is to raise the license fees to get back to where enforcement can operate freely. I agree with Senator Hoffman. The other is immediately involving the licensee in serving to an underage individual. And again, I think the effort, and you'll hear from others that were on the committee that deal with these issues every day, including Recover Alaska and CHAR and others, but the effort here is to get enforcement involved earlier, more effectively, and actually make those changes, and hopefully they have the dollars and manpower to enforce, and when people are bad players, they should be out of business. It has not been effective in the last several years, and I don't have the record of enforcement when they were doing it earlier. I would like to see that followed up upon by the director, if she can provide those records in the past when they had more dedication to enforcement. But this process does engage them earlier and actually gives something that they're likely to be charged with and for, as opposed to what was being ignored in the past. And I think that was a big part of why the system wasn't working.
Senator Machicki, were municipalities part of your working group?
Yes, they were, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Stevens.
I'm sorry, I was just thinking, Madam Chair, and you caught me in the middle of a thought. I just wonder how difficult it is to prove knowingly. Is that a legal issue? How do you show that? How do you prove that someone knowingly sold? And you have to have proof, I suppose. I mean, that's going to be a high bar, isn't it?
Senator Hoffman.
I don't think it's a high bar because state law, I think if you require the licensees to mandatory check licenses like Anchorage does, they have to look at that driver's license. And if it's proven that that individual has purchased and maybe never asked for it, that's knowingly selling if they did not look at the driver's license.
Senator Machicki, anywhere in the bill, is there a mandatory check?
Madam Chair, there's a mandatory check all over the state of Alaska before selling, and the driver's license for those that are to be restricted from service should be on that license as well. So that's a statewide law currently.
Ms. Hankey.
Through the Chair, Senator Stevens, this is Rachel Hankey again. I will also let you know that the default mental state for all of Title IV is knowingly currently.
With that and the support of the committee, what I would like to do is, this has been a high-level walkthrough on the bill. I'd like to open the public testimony so people who have been waiting have an opportunity to weigh in on this issue. I would say that because we are past the 90-day end of session already, that I need to know immediately if there are problems with this bill. Otherwise, amendments are due by 5 o'clock tomorrow. So if you have an issue, please let my office know as soon as possible. With that, I would like to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 76. The first person under invited testimony is Tiffany Hall. Ms. Hall, are you available? You're in Juneau.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Tiffany Hall. I'm the Executive Director of Recover Alaska. We are an initiative that works to reduce excessive alcohol use and harms across the state. My primary funders include the Alaska Mental Health Trust, the Matsu Health Foundation, the Rasmussen Foundation, Providence, South Central, and State of Alaska DHSS, along with many other tribal, not-for-profit, and governmental agencies across the state, all of whom are in favor of this bill. I just want to point out that this process has been a very long and thorough one. We've been working on this for 6 years now. Over 100 stakeholders have been invited, over 12,000 hours. And I understand that you have a lot of pages in front of you today, and it might feel like It might feel like it's a lot of it coming at the end of session now, but I want to assure you that many of the pages just have to do with trying to make statute more user-friendly to people. The color coding really hopefully will help show that there aren't as many substantive changes as it might initially seem. And the ones that are there are just critical for public health and safety. The sooner we can pass this, the better. Some of my particular highlights include these increased license fees, for partially because they haven't been increased for many, many years now. But part of that will specifically go to help with doing compliance checks, which I know has been an issue of conversation here today. Additionally, the penalties on overservice or service to a minor, increasing that to make sure that the licensee gets notified and penalized. This licensee liability is an evidence-based best practice across the nation and hopefully will serve to reduce this happening across the state. I also really appreciate the population limits being enforced. It's another evidence-based best practice. We know that enforcing population limits reduces violence, crime, and injuries in communities where that happens. And I know it's been a long day, so I will leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Are there questions from committee members? Tiffany, thank you for joining us today. Just because I didn't have eye contact with you, I was trying to record what you were saying to me so that I had it for future reference. So please, I did not mean to be disrespectful. I was trying to capture your points.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. The next person under invited testimony is Dale Fox. Mr. Fox, if you could join us at the microphone, introduce yourself and any affiliation, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Hello, my name is Dale Fox, and I work for Alaska Char. A well-regulated alcohol industry is good for everyone, good for public safety, good for public health, and it's good for the industry. SB 76 is a good step forward to make a more clear set of rules for people to follow. And the amendments that have been done in the legislative process have actually improved that six-year process that we engaged on. Alaska Char is representative of all of the industry all over the state. We have a 19-person board and 11-person government affairs committee. They unanimously support this effort. And just to tell you who those people are, we have hotels, we have restaurants, we have bars, package stores, breweries, and distilleries all over the state. So that effort that we've put forward over the last 6 years to come up with solutions, to come up with good policy to recommend to you, I think has worked. And so it's a rare day that Recover Alaska and Alaska Char come to you hand in hand saying we're supportive of a bill like this. So we think a good effort. Then one more comment on this discussion that was happening about revocation. One of the challenges with revocation of a license that's worth $300,000 is people hire an attorney and start suing. And the state may or may not win their revocation battle. So what the ABC board has done, quite effectively, I might add, is they've talked to licensees that seem to have problems, and they've got them to go sell their license, because if they're not a good operator, they shouldn't be there. A good example of that was Rum Runners in Anchorage. Rum Runners in Anchorage had repeated problems. Over and over, they were having problems. And finally, they brought the licensee before them, and they said, if you don't want us to revoke your license, you don't seem to be very good at running a nightclub. Maybe you ought to get out of that business. And the guy did get out of that business. He sold the license to somebody that was a more responsible operator, and there was no revocation on record, but they did get rid of the bad operator. Thank you.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. alcohol abuse and crime in the state is directly related to alcohol and problems with alcohol. For us, the state of Alaska, to say that it is going to be costly to take somebody to court because there's a $300,000 investment that this corporation may have is ludicrous. We need to take the problem, address it, and as soon as we win one or two cases, we are looking at a problem in this state that's epidemic. And for us not to challenge the licensees when that and the way they operate is the stem of the problem is a mistake. And for me to hear at this table that those licenses are worth $300,000 and it may be put the state of Alaska in a financial pinch, by ignoring that, we end up with people in correctional facilities. We have child abuse. We have people, drunk drivers. We have numerous other things. For you to even imply that at this table is an insult to me.
Through the chair to Mr. Hoffman. Not trying to insult. I was just trying to explain how the board is currently approaching that issue and why there was no revocations. There could be revocations for sure.
Senator Hoffman, thank you. Have further comments? Mr. Fox, Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In an earlier iteration of this bill, there was a lot of opposition by the Brewers Guild, who I think you represent as well. Mm-hmm. Have they been satisfied with where this bill is now? Are they satisfied with where it is now?
I believe they are. They've testified subsequent, but I prefer not to talk for the Brewers Guild itself. They can testify for themselves.
Madam Chair, it might be nice to hear from them at some point. Because there was strong opposition on their part to an earlier bill, and I suspect it's been changed. I'm not sure, but it'd be nice to know from them if they are comfortable with this latest bill.
Through the chair to
Mr. McKinnister? Ryan, are you there?
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is Ryan McKinnister. I'm the Executive Director of the Brewers Guild of Alaska. Senator, yes, we are fully on board with this bill, and we support this, working with our other stakeholders as well as the sponsor. We were able to work out some of those issues, and as for speaking for the industry, we also represent our cideries and wineries in the state, and we fully on board and support this bill as written. Just to give you an idea, we represent about 1,400 jobs, approximately $350 million in income, and about $30 million in taxes and fees. So although we are not a big industry, we're not small by any means. I just want to say that we really appreciate the opportunity to work with this stakeholder group over the last 6 years and their understanding with some of our current concerns to get to the point that we're at now so we can fully support this bill.
Mr. McKinnister, did they take out the controversial sections of the bill for you?
Madam Chair, yes. That was removed, I believe, two committees ago.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your allowing us to go back and get that on the record.
Senator Stevens, I didn't have the bill when there was something controversial in it, so I'm not sure what's been removed, but we certainly can go back and look.
Well, I think I'm well aware of what was removed. But there was such strong opposition, I think it's important to get it on the record, that the Brewers Guild is now okay with this current bill.
Senator Stevens, I appreciate that, too. I'm just wondering whether it addressed Senator Von Imhoff's questions about breweries or at least access to those breweries, hours of operation. In my community, there are places that are working like bars that don't have bar licenses that are small breweries that have tastings going on. So I'll speak with the sponsor of the bill to see what happened with that conversation.
Madam Chair, my understanding is that the big concern was the 80-20 split, that they had to sell 80% within a certain amount of time in a few years, and that has been removed, as I understand it.
Thank you. With that, if we could continue the public hearing. Joel Kadarach, Alaska Beer, Wine, Spirits, and Wholesalers Association. Joel, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Joel Catarouch. I represent the Alaska Beer, Wine, and Spirits Wholesalers Association, comprised of the Odom Corporation, Specialty Imports, and K&L Distributors. We, like other industry and community partners, have been involved in this for several years, and I'm here to express our support unconditionally for the bill as written and ask that it be passed this session. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions from committee members? The next person waiting to testify is Michelle Baldwin from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. I'm sorry, Michael. Michael, are you there?
I am here. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to SB 76 today. I'm Michael Baldwin, and I'm the Senior Evaluation and Planning Officer at the Mental Health Trust. We've been a part of the collaborative effort over the past several years in developing this work, and we previously testified in support of it and continue our support and offer our support for this this great effort and ask that it pass this year. And just to keep it brief, I'll leave it there.
Thank you for that testimony. Are there questions from committee members? Stephanie Queen from the City of Soldotna. Stephanie, are you there?
Hi, thank you, Madam Chairwoman and members of the committee. My name is Stephanie Queen, and I'm the City Manager for the City of Soldotna. And I joined the stakeholder group pretty late in the process, but they gave me an opportunity to speak to a couple of important issues that our local businesses have brought to my attention over the years. And there are a couple of really, progressive changes to Title IV in this bill that will really assist in providing opportunity for our businesses. One that allows them more flexibility in where they locate the license within a borough. It wouldn't increase the number of licenses, but gives limited flexibility to occasionally move inside city limits of that existing license. Another portion of the bill contains a new process which provides local municipalities more of a voice through our elected body in requesting additional restaurant and eating place licenses. And I appreciate that this section recognizes that our communities are unique and that even in an overall system that limits license types by population, that sometimes some flexibility is still appropriate. So this new mechanism provides local municipalities a voice directly to make our case to the ABC board, specifically for this one license type. And I support the efforts of the group. I want to thank you for the opportunity to share my support for these important changes.
Are there questions from committee members? Next person waiting online to testify is Robin Menard from the Matsu Health Foundation.
Hello, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Robin Menard, and I serve as Director of Public Affairs at the Matsu Health Foundation, which shares ownership in Matsu Regional Medical Center and invests our share of the profits back into the community to improve health. In our last community health needs assessment, in 24 separate community forums, Matsu residents ranked alcohol and substance abuse as the number one health issue in Matsu. In follow-up research, we asked our local police captains, what is the number one substance abuse problem? Their response was clear, alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. We also analyzed all of Matsu Regional Emergency Department visits from 2013 to 2016, and found that alcohol disorders were the number one reason for behavioral health-related visits to our emergency department. This systematic redraft of Title IV will help the ABC board carry out its mission. It will benefit organizations and individuals whose work, community, or business are affected by alcohol. It represents a big step forward in reducing Alaska's alcohol problem, and we strongly support the legislation. It's not often that so many stakeholders from so many different points of view can come together to tackle a project like this, and it's been very successful. We encourage you to please help move this bill forward this session. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Menard. Are there questions from committee members? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone else wishing to testify on Senate Bill 76 here in Juneau? Anyone wishing to testify on Senate Bill 76, an act relating to alcohol beverages, online, on net? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. With that, we are going to set this bill aside. We have another hearing in this room in 10 minutes. We will review the fiscal notes the next time we meet. Again, if there is any concerns about any particular section of the bill, concerns about the bill, or amendments, please have them to my office by 5 p.m. tomorrow. With that, we'll set this bill aside. On tomorrow's agenda, on Wednesday at 9 a.m., we have HB 147, Public Accounting, and HB 216, Crimes and Restitution Dividend Fund. Senator Machicki.
Just very briefly, we have a lot of resources available for folks if they have questions, Anna and Tiffany and others, so we're happy to try to get your questions answered on 76.
Please direct your questions to my office, and we'll make sure that Senator Machicki gets them so that the answers can be distributed to all offices. With that, we're adjourned.